This is KERA. I'm Sam Baker. In this edition of Vital Signs, acute flaccid myelitis, or AFM. Health officials across the country are monitoring the latest outbreak. More than 60 cases of the rare polio-like illness, mostly affecting children, have been reported in 22 states. That includes about a dozen in North Texas. I talked about this with Dr. Benjamin Greenberg. He directs the Transverse Myelitis Center at UT Southwestern Medical Center and Children's Health in Dallas.
What we're tracking is a certain neurologic event, children coming in with weakness or paralysis, and all indications are that that syndrome is being caused by a virus or a small family of viruses known as the enteroviruses, and they're around every month. They cause the common cold. There's almost 100 different types of enteroviruses, and at different times of year, different subtypes of enterovirus will be more or less prevalent. And what we're seeing is between the months of August and October, there is a specific enterovirus that seems to peak and now looks to be associated with causing paralysis.
So now, is this what they mean when they say acute flaccid myelitis, or AFM, is considered rare, or yet it's also considered common?
Exactly. Millions of people get infected with these enteroviruses. They're extremely common. You may not even know it when you're infected, or may have minimal symptoms or just a common cold, but there's only a very select, albeit unfortunate, few where the virus then invades the spinal cord and causes paralysis. So the virus is common, but this complication is rare. We don't have a specific drug to treat the virus, and so our treatments fall into two categories. One is limiting the amount of damage to the spinal cord from swelling or inflammation, and then working with children and families on rehabilitation techniques to try and build back up the nerves and muscles and bring back function.
It's often described as a polio-like illness. Is that because of symptoms similar to polio, or is there more of a connection than that?
The syndrome we're seeing, acute flaccid myelitis, is near exactly the syndrome that we saw during poliomyelitis outbreaks. The difference is a different viral cause. It's a cousin of the poliovirus. These enteroviruses and the poliovirus all belong to the same family of viruses. And in the world of polioviruses, they would give individuals a GI illness, diarrhea, and then in 1 in 100 cases, the virus would invade the spinal cord. This specific group of enteroviruses gives a cold, cough, runny nose, simple symptoms of a respiratory infection, and in 1 in 100,000, then invades the spinal cord. So while it's very analogous to polio, the big difference so far is the rate of complication after an infection is far lower. That has raised the concern, however, if this virus were to change over the next several decades, as we think it has over the last 30 years, becoming more virulent, could we be facing a virus that would cause more problems in the future? And instead of it being a complication of 1 in 100,000, could we see ourselves getting back to the day of 1 in 100 or 1 in 1,000 having paralysis from the virus?
And the answer is, at this point,
we don't know.
We don't know.
And so what we've been focusing on at Southwestern and with our colleagues around the country is, what should we be doing at the research level to come up with preventative strategies? Should we be focusing on developing a vaccine, just like we did with the polio virus? Should we be working on antiviral medications? And we're working diligently throughout the country to try and get a good answer to that question.
Is there any reason for people to fear anything more than the kind or size of outbreaks we've seen?
As of right now, in 2018, if we look at the history of 2014, 2016, and 2018, there is not a reason to expect that this outbreak will blossom in a dramatically higher fashion than where it is now. We expect for us to turn the corner in terms of number of cases over the next 8 weeks based on the natural seasonality of the virus, and we should be getting close to our peak of cases.
In the meantime, is there anything an individual can do to avoid AFM?
The best way to avoid AFM is to try and avoid common colds, hand washing and good hygiene. The other thing we're starting to push more is, as individuals are sick, parents or children, don't go to work and don't go to school. You are doing us a favor by staying home.
Dr. Greenberg, thank you for being with me.
Thank you, Sam. Pleasure to be here.